Triple M's Big Breakfast for Team Moto and their biggest ever bike sale. Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki and heaps more. Slash by up to $7,000. Check out teammoto.com.au.
Yes, hello, welcome to the catch-up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. A real party vibe over at Karabokan Prison today, isn't there?
Karabakan.
It's been a while since we mentioned it because Chappelle's not there anymore, and very soon neither will Renee Lawrence.
That's right. We say Salamat Tinggal to Renee Lawrence as she leaves Karabakan Prison. And now onto the biopic, and today we cast it. It's must listen to listening.
Actually, it linked in quite nicely because later in the show we spoke to Rusty Crowe and claimed that maybe he could play Renee Lawrence. But
and he's already preparing for the part.
He is, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And also we asked what happened in the lift because a lift in Chicago dropped 84 floors.
Ooh, Chi-town.
Let me warn you, we had some lovemaking.
Oh, yeah.
Renee Lawrence is getting out and she's coming home, and I think that we can now think about Karabokan the movie, Bali 9 the movie. Mm. We can even throw Chappelle in there as well, as appearing as herself. But the all-important decisions need to be made now. And I think that, you know, as we're pitching this with you as my team, Marto, Robin, we need to cast Renee Lawrence, which is a pivotal role. It is the linchpin of the Bali 9. We're going to know her and love her.
She's the first one released after 13 and a half years.
Of the nine.
It's significant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chappelle's come home. It's a different story, but they were in Karabokan together. And, of course, you know, once we cast the Karabokan cast, there's jobs for all of the Indonesian / Asian actors in this country.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Rando,
it's good for the industry.
Sampang. They'll all get roles.
We'd shoot it down the Gold Coast, wouldn't we? Because it's more Bali-like and Corby's are nearby.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Renee Lawrence, these are the names I'm going to throw up there. First of all, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Very versatile
Kurt
actor.
Are we looking for attitude or looks? Like,
well, maybe a big name, but maybe if you want to go for a really solid drama, you need the look, don't you?
If you don't want a body double, Paul Gallen would jump in at a pinch.
Gallen?
Yep. Gallen.
I'll write that down. Gallen's on the shortlist.
Any females?
Rebel Anyone? Wilson. She's not doing
Rebel.
Much at the
moment. Well, she wants to be serious. She wants to be taken serious.
This
so
is
she
serious
can,
drama.
Chrissy Swan.
Chrissy just ambling in from the side in Karabokan. Maybe Chrissy in it can be the early Renee, but
older Renee, yeah, you want
the
to.
Later Renee because she sheds quite a bit in Karabokan. Yeah. I was thinking maybe Guyton Grantley,
who
played Carl Williams in The Underbelly. You think of that? They are absolutely identical.
Oh, I don't know about that. I got a better one in terms of identical. Close your eyes. Think Renee.
Okay,
you got Renee.
Mm. Yep, I have
Mick Malloy.
He's done it. He's hit the nail on the head. It seems so simple now.
Now look at him.
Absolutely.
Mick waddling through the...
Mick Malloy. He's so Renee
We have access to him too.
That's right.
Of course, from Kennedy Malloy.
Do you know what? Why don't we put it to him? Because he's featuring in a movie, Rachel Griffiths movie, so he's obviously back throwing his hat in the ring. He'd be a terrific
Russell
Renee
Crowe?
No.
Russell Crowe,
like, he can play anyone.
He's packed
on.
I did actually think Lawrence Mooney.
Oh. Too confusing. Renee Lawrence, played by Lawrence Mooney. It's like, what?
Doesn't make any sense. I don't see the similarities. It's a big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Is that our favourite Academy Award winner's music?
Oh, yeah. He is also, what is he within the Bunnies? Anyway,
he's the owner of
the
South
owner.
Sydney
right.
Bunnies.
I was going to say the CEO. That didn't sound right. Hello, Rusty Crowe.
Hello, Robin, and congratulations on your nuptials. Your connubials, I hope you got my message. An apology, I couldn't be there.
Yeah, your message was played to the reception area.
Right.
So thank you.
Yeah, well, I've been quite busy. I'm currently away working on a few different roles. And morning to you, Moon Man, too. Love you. Punch, horn in the ring joke.
Okay.
Just fresh every morning.
You right?
Yeah.
You okay to get... You haven't had a smoke?
Oh, sorry, Brendo. Can you light it up?
Jeez. Thought you were giving them away, Russ. Yeah.
Hey, 43 Russ. Cents and you're a member.
Russ. We were talking. Rob and I were wondering, you're owner of the Bunnies and you're an actor, always in movies.
Yeah.
What's the breakdown in your time? What is it, 50-50?
Well, I only use a normal kind of percentage breakdown of how I spend my time. I have the ability to stretch beyond 24 hours a day. I have the ability to make things happen in a fourth dimension.
Wow. So, time standing always, still?
Yeah, time stands still. It's elastic. It's abstract. And so I step through it. And I'm always working on the bunnies and I'm in the Rabbitohs and I'm always an actor. I'm both things at once. I'm an orb. I'm the spherical thing spinning around the world.
Russ, I know your manager probably looks after these things, but a suggestion on our show earlier that maybe you should play Renee Lawrence in the telemovie about the Bali Nine.
I can't say too much about that, but I am currently walking around my flat with 3 kilos of flour strapped to my body. And I'm just working. I've painted some bars on the walls.
Method acting.
And I sleep with a wooden carving in the shower.
What's the wooden carving of?
Just to give me the feel that I'm in Bali.
Right. Okay. Oh, we know what the wooden carving's of then.
No, we don't.
Okay. Can I check?
I'm trying to do as many things as I can to give me the feel that I'm in Bali. I'm riding a moped around my flat. I can't go outside. I'm too famous. I'm bootlegging some tapes by Fleetwood. I'm sorry, I'm choking on this cigarette. Yeah, right. Can you light it again, please?
Sorry about that.
Hey, Russ, can you just tell us? I know you said you got plenty of time for everything because you have so many projects. What's happened to your band, the 30-odd foot of grunt?
Well, I've actually been playing some music too. I went to Bayshore Festival, and this is a true story, played with a Canadian folk rock performer, Alan Doyle. So he didn't invite me on stage. I just got on stage beside him. He was quite surprised. I do that. I go around the world and just get on stage with bands. Whitesnake, I know, is one of your favourite Robins. I follow them around a bit. And, of course, the boys from the Grunts are still living in my flat that Danielle wanted me to evict them from.
Okay, fair call, really. It's been years. Look, can I just ask you, when you are
one of the bags of flour's broken open.
Oh, you're right.
I have to peel this off. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
While you're in Hollywood, do you live the Rabbitohs way?
You've always got to live the Rabbitohs way, Robin. And that is, you know, being fundamental, being hardcore, being tough. It's like being the bush tucker man or Bear Grylls. You've got to know how to survive on your own. You've got to be, you know, not too proud to ask a stranger for $2 and say, I've got a job interview in Toowoomba. I need to get up there. You've got to be able to ask them for a smoke. And you've got to be able to remove one of your own teeth with some pliers.
That's incredible. Okay. Well, just talking about that, Wayne Bennett arrives home from England, I believe, today. I know you're overseas, but will you speak to him straight away? Because we've got to sort out, is he going to the Bunnies next year? Is he staying at the Broncos? What will that conversation, I know his side will be, but what will you say to him?
I'll say, we communicate in low-level grunts like a couple of whales.
We communicate
in whale song. I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that Wayne Bennett will be coaching the Rabbitohs next year. And if he isn't, he'll be coaching the Broncos.
All right. Great. Thanks, Rusty.
Look, just no worries.
Final question. Been catching up with Terry Irwin lately?
I have been working on our Christmas role plays.
Tell us. Reindeer? Where are we? What are we at?
I play Santa, of course.
Of course.
I climb inside the chimney and
yes.
Go on.
Is there a sack?
And she eases my sack out of the chimney and opens it up to see what's inside.
Very good. I'm sorry we made you extrapolate on that, actually. Rusty Crowe on Brisbane's Triple M. It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Okay, so there was a story on the news last night. It actually happened in the US, and I would have to say it would be most of ours greatest fears, particularly you, Greg Martin, being stuck in a lift.
Oh, I don't like lifts.
But not only being stuck in it, when the lift fails.
People inside said they were sure they were going to die, their elevator plunging 84 stories down one of the world's tallest skyscrapers in Chicago. Two of the lift cables broke. It only suddenly stopped between the 11th and 12th floors.
How many cables are there?
Three.
Wow. And two
suddenly
broke.
Stopped.
How did they survive?
I don't know. And they were 12 floors from the base. Yeah. So they dropped, 80 floor stories.
You just would have thought you were going to die. So what do you do? You're crouching down. Do you jump off crying?
Jump off the floor?
They say that, but you'd have to time it within the absolute.
You've still got to slam into the floor, aren't you?
You are still going to
slam into the roof. Because if you jump up and you're stationary and it's falling, you get hit in the you break your neck.
Yeah. Good point.
Okay. Have any of you ever been stuck in a lift and what happened? You would be a shocker, Marto. Yeah. You are so twitchy just being in any room.
I don't like being trapped anywhere.
Have you been stuck in a lift? Has anything ever happened?
Briefly got stuck between floors and then they fixed it up and then it was only 2 or 3 minutes. But I hear about those people. Did you see those schoolies the other day? They put 14 in an 8-person lift and they were stuck for 3 hours.
Yeah, people weeing and blowing off
and things like that. That's what happens when you get stuck for hours and then people start doing the vines. It's like a lifeboat
and then all of a sudden you decide who you're going to eat.
Three hours.
Plane in the Andes.
3 hours in, are you eating someone?
Have you all forgotten? What about the intruder here at Triple M? We had him stuck in the lift for a while.
Excuse me, mate, I'm stuck in the lift.
I've only come up here for a couple of stickers and $2.
Remind everyone, about 6 weeks ago, we had a bloke who'd been in the lift for about 5 hours and he had to relieve himself.
Yeah, he did.
I had to relieve myself. I hadn't been to bed for 5 days. Yeah. I got stuck in your lift.
It was a bit icy.
Anyway, if anyone actually has been stuck in a lift, can you tell us what happened?
Not just stuck, what about falling a few...
Anything that's happened in the lift? Chris, the fig tree pocket, what went down?
My sister at her wedding got caught in the lift with the bridal party. Similar colour dress to your wedding dress, Robin. Beautiful photos of your wedding.
Oh, thank you.
And my father, my sister, bridal party, they'd had a bit too much Dom Perignon. By the time they got to the church, they were a bit sweaty. And the makeup had started to run. So
that would not be a fun. That was the bride starting to freak out.
Yes. My father was at the time was almost 3 sheets to the wind, so he didn't care. The bridesmaids were a bit unsettled by the time they got to the church, and the church was like virtually across the hallway from where the lift got caught. So yeah.
Oh, that would be so bad. And thanks for following me on socials, Chris. Seeing the wedding dress. Brenda.
And living in your suburb. Chris is stalking.
Stop it.
We love you, Chris.
Brenda of Hillcrest.
We love you, Chris.
What happened in the lift?
Hi, guys. We were coming out of a club at the Oasis at Broadbeach. This was years ago, and the lift is like a glass lift. Way too many people piled in. And then it got stuck. There was no phone inside it for the security is telling us to use the phone. No phone. The couple beside me were doing the horizontal square dance.
Well, everyone was there.
Yes. The guy on the other side of me was telling me we were going to die.
The square dancing, did they just go, we're going to die, we better get one last one in?
Yes, probably. And it was nice and steamy in the glass and it was very hot and everyone was very intoxicated.
Pressed ham.
And then someone had an asthma attack.
No.
So everyone decided they were going to jump.
What?
And we dropped. And then they had to peel the doors back and we climbed out at the basement level.
Have the Highland dancers wound up there?
They finished whatever they were doing. Did you look the other way,
or did anyone watch them doing it?
I was actually crying because I'd had a few to drink, and the guy beside me was telling me we were going to die.
What
did he say?
Then he went into panic, and he's saying, "No, we're not going to die. We're not going to die."
Oh, good Lord!
How long ago was this, Brenda?
I was not long out of high school, so it was a little while ago, but I didn't catch a lift for years.
Just the stairs, Brenda.
But I wouldn't get in a lift for years. I remember I went to visit someone in hospital and I walked up like so many stairs at Gold Coast Hospital.
Ground floor Brenda, they call her.
It's a big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
This man is one of the great sporting moustaches of the 70s. There was Nukes, there was DK Lilly, and behind the stumps for a lot of my childhood was Rod Marsh. We welcome him in today. G'day, Rod.
G'day. How are you?
What happened to the moustache?
Where's it gone?
Is the moustache gone?
Well, it's Movember, so I take mine off every month.
Oh, okay. You were part of a legendary lineup. You were in the team with the Chappell brothers, Ian and Greg, DK Lilly, the amazing Tomo. You were behind the stumps keeping to those speedsters. What was that like?
Well, it's a hell of a lot better than batting against them. I'll put it that way. Because you had an extra 30 metres to actually see the ball and then catch it if it came your way. But batting against those two would have been a nightmare when they were at their quickest. There's no doubt about that.
You were part of the great transition in Australian cricket into the World Series cricket. You were part of that, you know, cohort. What was it like facing down the great man, Kerry Packer?
That was probably tougher than facing Tomo, really, when you think about it. Although, having said that, the thing that really amazed me about Kerry was the fact that he was only about 9 years older than me. I signed up when I was 30, and he was 39. And I honestly thought he was about 60 at the time because he had so much money. You don't get that much money at 39 days.
Now, can I pick a bit of a bone with you here, Rod Marsh? You were a great Pom hater for a long time and then found yourself coaching over in England.
Yep.
What the hell were you thinking? What the hell were you thinking?
Well, I was just trying to learn as much about the game as I possibly could. I thought it was a good experience. It was probably the best job I ever had because I only answered to one person. I'd had 11 years at the academy in Adelaide, and I got a bit too familiar with it. I mean, I started cutting a few corners, which I shouldn't have. And when you start doing that, it's time to go. And you move on and you try and improve yourself, and that's what I did.
Were you at the academy when Warnie turned up there?
Well, not the first time. He got thrown out the first time and then...
Did he?
Yep, he got thrown out.
Why?
Well, I think he was...
he was fat with a mullet wearing acid jeans.
Chain-smoking.
Well, yeah, all of that. But I think the thing... The straw that broke the camel's back was that he was in a swimming pool in Darwin along with some Japanese visitors. I think when he got out of the swimming pool, these bathers sort of came down a little bit.
There was brown eyes flashed.
Yeah, that's right. Then Terry Jenner got him back, asked me to get him back, and he came back for 4.5 months.
Rod, what do you think of Australian cricket at the moment? It just seems so disappointing to the people that love it, but for the great elders of the game, I mean, do you kind of take it personally?
Well, you still want Australia to win because you're Australian, you know, and it's going through a period of downward trending at the moment, a bit like the stock market, really. And, you know, the good thing about it is I'm confident it will come back. Now, when it comes back... you know, we've got problems with our batting, no doubt about that. Our two best batsmen aren't in the side, and we're going to have problems for a little while. But it'll heal itself sooner the better, from my point of view.
How does it heal itself, though? Is it just Steve Smith comes back and David Warner comes back and it's better, or?
Well, that'll be the start of it.
Right,
yeah.
We'll score runs, won't we?
And then hopefully, in the meantime, the game has actually brought on a couple of other batsmen, young batsmen, hopefully, that have become good Test match players and good one day players. You know, the boys have lost probably a couple of million each, so that's a fair enough fine. The other biggest fine would have probably been a match payment. I just thought it was all a bit over the top, but you know, that's me. Mm.
How much did you get paid? Some of these blokes are on $4 million a year. How much did you get paid?
Not that much. No. We started, my first Shield game was $7 a day, and then before World Series cricket, we were up to $180 a test.
Wow.
For 5 days.
5 days. Oh. Well, yeah, and then usually a rest day and travel either side of that.
You get the rest day. Beautiful.
Yeah, I love the story about, and a true story, our meal allowance for Sheffield Shield cricket was $1.50 for lunch and $2.50 for dinner. But you know what? For $2.50, you could buy a steak and salad at a pub and 2 beers.
Oh, that's right.
And that's how they worked it out.
Well, who ate the steak and salad? No one.
Take me back. Well, the new book, heaps of great yarns in it. It is, and we love the title because you know what you're getting. Rod Marsh.
You're not getting Rod Jeff Marsh no. or Mitchell Marsh.
It is Rod
you're
Marsh.
Rod Marsh.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Rod.
My pleasure.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
Rip it open and just start with Paul Gallen. Let him start today's Can of Worms.
fact is he had 1 year left on his contract, and we don't get this far in this game or in any game without your teammates, and Val's left us. He's walked out on us, which I find disappointing. I've told him that. I've got nothing against him personally, obviously. I thanked him for everything he's done at our club, but the way this has happened, I'm disappointed in.
Every rugby league fan should be disgusted on what's just happened. This is happening continually in rugby league.
Okay, just fill everyone in. Valentine Holmes
has walked out on the last year of his contract
to go
to the NFL. Doesn't everyone know that?
Well, I'm just in case they don't.
And what's the last year of his contract worth?
The last year of his contract is worth at least $800,000 from Cronulla, plus $100,000, $30,000 a game for Origin. That's $90,000 plus about $50,000 for playing for the Kangaroos.
They're basically
$950,000.
The Courier Mail are saying today that Valentine Holmes' shock decision to walk away from a guaranteed $5 million.
Yeah, that's the contract they'd offered for 4 years after next year. So he had a guaranteed for the next 5 years of nearly $5 million, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's walking away even if he gets signed up. Well, let's not worry about that side of things. The thing that I'm worried, he's only going to make $400,000 a year if he made it onto the 53-man roster, okay, in the NFL.
Yes.
But if he became a superstar, and that ain't going to happen, he could then make maybe $10 million a year.
Okay.
That's what he's obviously dreaming of. But quite simply, right now, every league fan should go, I'm sick of players breaking their contracts. Why is Moose Maguire, Josh Maguire going to Cowboys next year? Why are any of them? Why don't you see through your contract?
And it goes for the coaches too. They're all walking away from contracts.
That's
left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
So what is the can today? What are you saying?
Should Valentine Holmes ever be allowed back into the NRL?
Of course he should.
Break a contract. If you break your radio contract, you would be actually, the law would deal with you.
Of course they would, but this is not radio. This is about the NRL and everyone breaks their contract. Do you mean to tell me that if Valentine Holmes doesn't make it in the next 2 years, you wouldn't have him back for State of Origin?
We would have moved on by then.
Rubbish.
Jarryd Hayne. Do you see what happened when he tried to come back after he decided to chase that dream? No, he was never the same player again.
So you're saying
I hate people breaking contracts. As a punitive measure,
if you're an NRL player, you break a contract, you go overseas to try out for the NFL over there, you can't come back and play NRL.
Well, you broke a contract.
But everyone breaks a contract in this game. You've just said that. Every single person, whether it is they're all not going to be able to play?
Well, I reckon they've got to stop it. You've got to take a stand. Same thing as sandpaper. Everyone used to use sandpaper or some means to deviate the ball. And finally they went bang.
Let's put it out there, Brendo.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Simple as, should Valentine Holmes, because he's going to the NFL, be allowed back into the NRL? He's broken a contract, which is illegal.
You've become the Peter Dutton of the NRL. The immigration minister. No one's allowed back in.
I would agree with all of that, except that everyone breaks their contract in the NRL. The contracts are not worth the paper they are written on.
It would appear that, but isn't that illegal? Like, if I work for a trucking company and I sign a contract, I'm going to work for you for 2 years, I can't go jumping across.
Well, it's
only going to become legal if they decide to enforce it. And what's the point of trying to make someone do what they don't want to do?
That's what they keep saying. But you've got to enforce it.
Lee of Narangba, what do you reckon? Should Valentine Holmes be allowed back into the NRL?
Marto, I agree with you 99% of the time. But don't worry about it, mate. I reckon he should be allowed back in if he does decide to come back. It's just like changing careers and every day, carpenter such as yourself wants to change and go to plumbing.
Yeah, but if I signed a contract promising a builder that I was going to work for him for the next 8 months, he'd be relying on me to finish those next two jobs he's got to do, and I'm letting him down. Why would I ever be allowed to come back and work for him?
Well, you don't go back to that same employer. It's up to the individual club. If they want to let him go and then want to accept him back, you come back on the club's terms, and if they haven't got the money at that time, well, you come back at that price what they can afford to pay you. And if they can only afford to pay you half of what you were before, go back to that club. And then if that's the gamble, well, you can't go to another club and you sit out the remainder of your contract.
He's not robbing the club, is he? He's not taking the money with him. He's just walking away.
Well, why do we bother with contracts then? Well,
I have no idea in the NRL. Absolutely don't. Chris of Ipswich, what do you reckon? Do you reckon Valentine Holmes should be allowed back if it all fails over in the US?
Oh, look, I love rugby league, don't get me wrong, but anyone who actually signs a contract, you know, they sign sponsors, they've got players in there, and all, you know, they've got their rostering group, and then suddenly said, no, I'm going to up and leave. And I've got nothing against people wanting to go out and chase their dreams, but when you make a commitment, then you see out that commitment.
He's their number one player, Chris. That shows
that's
a lot of sense
exactly
from you.
Right. And how much do we have a bad taste in our mouth for things like the Sonny Bill Williams thing or the Jared Haynes thing?
Thank
you know, you just lose a little bit of respect. Now, I'm a Queenslander. I'm a big Broncos fan. You know, I'm a massive rugby league fan. But when someone suddenly breaks a contract, doesn't matter if you're a referee or a player, it leaves a really bad taste. And we as a rugby league community, we're a bit of a laughing joke. Like Robin's saying, I mean, people, they're breaking contracts everywhere.
Chris, what did you make of Josh Maguire? Like, I don't reckon he's a super player anyway, but I wanted him to finish his contract. He's just walking out of the last year because he can.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I love Josh Maguire. Little bulldog he is. I love him being a big Broncos fan. But, yeah, I was disappointed. I love him as a player. I was disappointed. Yeah.
Look at you go, Chris. I love your passion,
Chris,
for the game. And Terry...
Get her on the commentary team. She's amazing.
Exactly.
Terry of Kalanga, what do you think about this? I think you're going to say something that Marto wholeheartedly agrees with. Go ahead.
Yeah, morning, team. Hey, listen, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah.
Well, these players wouldn't be allowed to do that if the club said no. End of story. Club says no, you're not leaving. You're not out of your contract.
And do you know why the clubs aren't saying no, Terry? Because they keep doing it too.
Mate, because it's freeing up money. They're that highly strung on the salary cap.
Mm.
It's freeing up money to take the emphasis off that.
Tony, what about the Terry?
Know, and as for Josh Maguire,
yeah,
like word is, Broncos are happy to let him go because it then allows you to focus on players like Corey Oates, Penai Junior, you know, and that gives them money to allow them.
How would you like to be the coach? How would you like to be Shane Flanagan and going, well, I'm coming into a good party. We could win the premiership, and then your best player buggers off, and then you lose your job.
Absolutely. And then you just turn around and say, mate, no, you're not going.
Mm. Well, it's a culture. The clubs have been walking away for contracts long before players and coaches did. So it is a culture created by the clubs and the game. You're right, Terry.
It's killing the fan base, I reckon.
Well, I'm sorry, Marto. 70% of callers say that, Val Holmes should be allowed back into the NRL.
Okay.
Yeah, and, or even just for State of Origin.
Yes. Well, I don't mind that. And spare a thought for ScoMo as well. I mean, he's an avid Sharks fan and his favourite player is leaving.
We all know what happened in the Engadine McDonald's in 97.
No, we don't.
You've got the power to stop this, ScoMo. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, ScoMo.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
Just 10 days ago, we were introduced to a little man called Henry. He's a three-year-old who 6 months ago was running around being a healthy, happy three-year-old just west of Rocky. And then he contracted a mysterious virus that has left him paralysed and on a ventilator. He's currently residing at the Lady Salento Children's Hospital. His little body has been completely destroyed, but he's getting strength back and he's almost ready to come home for Christmas. The house that his family are moving into, though, is not prepared for a boy with a disability. So we have all pitched in, and in fact, you have pitched in, Brisbane. We've asked you for your help. You've given generously your products and your labour, and we are converting the house. We're putting in ramps. We're putting in a disabled bathroom, air conditioning. We're fixing the whole thing up, and it's all thanks to you.
That's right. Whether you've given goods or services, you're all a bunch of heroes. It's been wonderful. And we're more than halfway there. So we're thinking about finishing things like the tiles have all been donated and Don did the tiling and the bathroom's a big
Donnie
one.
Bruin.
There's something, there's an extra thing we've overlooked that we didn't realise we need because it was a change of design. And it is, we're calling for cabinet makers. Yes, you over there working with the MDF, go and tell the boss that we need another hero of Henry and what we're after is a four-door cabinet to sit underneath a bench top, so underneath a top like this.
Got that.
Four-door, okay, so about 1,800 long by 900 high. So a nice, simple one, probably a shelf in the middle, halfway up it. That's all we're after,
How
and
long
it'll
would
be
that
finished.
Take
now,
to do?
there was a
they
guy called Mick who hit me up on text, and he said, hey, mate, you may need some joinery units for the bathroom. If you need to, give us a call.
Did he mean can you get back onto him? Did he mean cabinetry
right now?
Joinery is sometimes the windows and doors, so don't get them confused. But we're after a four-door, 1,800 wide, 900 high cabinet. So just in two-pack or something, there's nothing it has to match up. So you might have an overrun. You might have someone had ordered the wrong thing and brought it back. If you've got one of them lying around, give us a hoi.
You're just about to head out to Henry's house at Camira, aren't you?
Smoko shout for Construction Skills Queensland, taking our food out there and feeding about 30 or 40 of them this morning. So turn up if you've been working on Henry's house and you go, oh, right, oh, I didn't know about that. Head out there by 10, about 10 o'clock.
Would you mind having a chat to some of the workers? Because I'd love to hear from them tomorrow.
So would I.
Right. Yeah. Oh, some of them are legends. There's been blokes there, been there for the whole 8 days of the program.
And some of them are looking for work, so we can profile them too, and maybe you can help them out.
All right, we'll hear from them tomorrow. It is the big breakfast.
Marto, Robin, I want to take you by the hand, and Brendo too. You can come with me.
Thanks.
And lead you into my boudoir. I want to share some intimate secrets with you.
I don't want to come.
No, I'm going to be on loose.
Come in here. Can you please come in here? I'm asking for help.
Be careful.
Just sit on the bed. Now, Robin Bailey, let me ask you a question. Who do you think it is requests intimacy more in a relationship?
Traditionally,
who requests it more?
I would say traditionally.
Now, I know that you're not typical of your gender because you are mad for it.
When you say intimacy, do you mean the ultimate intimacy or just...
The ultimate. Adult hugs. The nookie, the horizontal Highland dance, if you will.
Got it. Okay. Who initiates it? Traditionally, blokes do.
Right. And so it's women who probably turn it down more.
Well,
then.
Yeah. I think women mostly operate in their head, and if you can couch your desire into actually getting her into the right headspace, you're 90% there.
Yeah, headspace is very important. Mm. Now, there is a bit of an argument between me and Lou who requests it more. She reckons that she gets knocked back a bit more by me. Anyway, that's... Oh.
You work too much, that's why.
Mm. Or I'm not there. Yeah, anyway. We were at your wedding on the weekend, very romantic setting, classic kind of like environment after the wedding for some kind of intimacy. As you know, our dog Rupert died on Friday. This is the weirdest excuse I've ever had from Lou not to become intimate. So we get home and I said, you know. How about it? Yep. Bit of a tap
was that
on the shoulder.
After you got How poured into it? The taxi holding the martini glass?
That's right, yeah. I would have been fairly rubbish if she hadn't said yes, but...
As an eyewitness, can I just, before you go and you're going to... He left his wife sitting in a cab.
I know, you were the runner.
12 to 15 minutes while he was ordering two martinis at the bar. He actually put his head out from that place. What was it? Whatever the place, the name
Harvest.
Of
it.
Harvest.
He put his head out and said, no, you take off. You go with Marto and Kat and I'll just stay here with the boys.
As someone hearing that for the first time, that is unsurprising. Like,
well, yeah, I think what was also surprising is Marto was being the runner between the cab and
I was trying to round him
the middleman.
No, so you don't know this probably.
So you're trying to paint a picture of me not being particularly romantic.
Not at that stage. is this coming as news to you, this bit?
No, I can it's sketchy and it's misty, but there's a memory there. Now this isn't the point of hopeless
live.
I am romantically. I had suggested to my wife that we become intimate, and she said, I can't because I'm too grief-stricken by the death of the dog. Yeah. And I said, well, maybe this will help you forget about the dog. And she goes, I can't. I don't want to be halfway through and start bursting into tears.
You didn't suggest any particular position.
No, I didn't. There are.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I said, catch this tennis ball in your mouth and let's get on with it.
Okay, so apart from a really good, fun conversation making fun about you.
So what's the weirdest excuse your partner's ever come up with not to have nookie? The dog died and I'm upset.
I can kind of
give us a call. 133353. What's the weirdest excuse your partner's ever given you not to do it?
You're not good looking when I'm sober.
Gary, what happened with you? What was the excuse given by your wife?
Well, it was the excuse by me, actually, at the time.
Oh.
Was I was halfway through and I had a race on the radio in my bed, and I got 20 grand on the horse.
You put a grand on the horse?
Oh. Yep.
How'd it go?
The horse lost, but so did I.
Yeah.
Get your schedule right, mate.
Oh, it's
we've got 30 minutes between races.
Gary.
I just didn't take the whip with me.
Oh, no. Okay. The big breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, what Gary. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.